Welcome to the Blind Luminations podcast. I'm Mark's narration software, Alex. This week, the Blindamic duo is discussing how that weeb manages his diabetes despite being blind. Not surprisingly, the turd bucket relies heavily on highly sophisticated technology like myself to assist him at every turn. Unlike dumb humans, the very idea of a pancreas is useless to me, so really, I'm superior in every way. Anyway, enjoy hearing humans talk about stupidly human things.
Welcome to Blind Luminations, the show that is half-sighted, half-blind, all podcast. Now get ready to open your ears to your two favorite luminaires, Mark and Jan.
Hey, Illuminati, welcome to the Blind Illuminations podcast. I am one half of your hosting team, one half of the Blindamic duo even. I'm the Blind Avenger, known by my friends as Mark, and I am joined by my sighted wife. She is the guiding goddess, also known to her friends as Jan. How you doing today, Jan?
I'm doing great. How about you?
I'm doing pretty good. We've been gone for a little bit here. It's almost like, 2 weeks we've podcasted. So the thing is that we actually did start recording a podcast last week, and the first 26 minutes were good, and the rest of it was really good too, but the unfortunate thing is that we did not press the record button on the rest of that podcast.
Yes, so it's one lost of those slight oversights that is unfortunately very, very important.
I'm undersighted. You're oversighted, apparently. But yes, so that happened. That part of our episode that we recorded last week was lost to the ether, so we just decided to scrap the whole thing. We were going to try and record it afterwards again, but it never ended up happening. So we apologize for being very late with this episode. It's something that's been a while in the making, and hopefully today it all comes out okay. If you're listening to this, it did, so that's a good thing. That's a good sign. But for those who are new to this podcast and have not heard any of our podisodes so far, allow me to introduce you to what we talk about. I am, as I said, a blind person, and I am with my sighted wife, and basically we just talk about our lives revolving around this disability. We have different anecdotes that we like to share, and every podisode, we pick a different topic and kind of focus in on that. So if you like what you hear, be sure to share this podisode, this podcast, with your friends, and tell them to subscribe for free on Apple Podcasts, where they can leave us a 5-star review. We are also wherever you get great podcasts, so sharing is caring, and it helps us go a long way. So definitely spread the word if you can. It helps us out a lot. So this week we will be talking about being blind and diabetic. I've got a double whammy. It's a it's a double threat. It's not a triple threat, but I'm type 1 diabetic and I'm also blind. So we're going to be talking about that. But before we do, we like to kind of talk about what's been going on with us lately and just kind of break the ice a little bit before we get into things. So what's been going on with you, Jan? How you been? Well, you said you've been doing good, but what have you been up to?
Oh my gosh, what have we not been up to
lately? I know. We've been busy. We've been busy bees. And we've got the beeswax ornament to prove it.
Yes.
On our Christmas tree. Busy bee, Christmas tree.
We went to the play The Pillow Man.
Yes. And that was post-productions here in Windsor. Yes. Small theater company. And it was very good. We went there last Friday. This past Saturday was their last showing of it. So if you missed it, then too bad. But if you ended up catching it, it was actually a really good show that they put on there. And we were very happy to have attended. So it was definitely interesting.
Mm-hmm. Very well acted and everything.
An audience member who enjoyed your blind joke to me, because there's this, I don't want to spoil too much, but there's a part in the play where they use multimedia and there's this video and this blind guy doesn't hear a person asking for help or something and they walk away. So then Jan turned to me and said, "Good going, jerk." And then after that part, like, because it was right before an intermission. And right after that ended, the guy, was he in front of us or next to you?
Yeah, he was in front of us.
Yeah. He turned to you and said, "I'm sorry, but that was really funny." He enjoyed your joke.
Mm-hmm.
At my expense.
Thing is, I don't know if he knew you were blind or in case he just thought I was commenting on the action.
I hope that he knew I was blind. Well, either way, it's funny. There's not one thing that makes it better, I guess, but yeah. So I thought he knew I was blind, and that's why he thought it was funny. So yeah.
But yeah, we want to see that. We still plan on going to see Bright Lights Windsor.
Yes, we do. We this is their big display, their annual Christmas display, Jackson Park here. They started it a few years ago, and it's become an annual tradition in the area. And we went last year for the first time. It was not the first time that they put this on, but it was the first time we attended, and we really enjoyed ourselves. I mean, obviously, I cannot see the lights, but Jan could, and she's a very good describer when it comes to Christmas lights. So we went through the display. There's lots of areas where you can get your photos taken. And definitely when we go this year, we're going to be posting some of those on Instagram. So keep an eye out or an ear out if you are blind and go by the alt tags on these images on Instagram, because we try to do that on every one of our images that we post. So we do plan on going to that. This past Sunday, we went to John R. Park Homestead and experienced their Christmas in the Country. We went on a horse and carriage ride. You know what else?
Mm-hmm. What?
I met a horse. You know what happened? I pet that horse. And I also got to feel the horse's nose, and the horse licked me twice. Two times. I made a friend with the horse. So that was a lot of fun. The John R. Park Homestead is basically kind of like a heritage building. It was a family that had a lot of money a long time ago, and they've kept this building up, and basically you get to go and see what their traditions were a long time ago before electricity and all this different stuff. So it's actually really cool because they take a really historical look at Christmas and different traditions and different versions of Santa Claus they had there. They had a woodworking up on the top floor of the house. Somebody up there making different things.
Different wooden whistles.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. So, and then really they had on display the different wooden toys and stuff that they used to play with back then as well, right? Yeah, so that was pretty neat. You got to see a lot of the stuff that existed back then that they did for fun. I mean, obviously, they didn't have Game Boys. They didn't have Nintendo DS. So they had to make do. You could chime in at any time here.
It was neat. They had the masks thing to wear. Sorry, I thought you were going to mention it, so I was waiting.
Oh, no, no. But, go ahead. Feel free to join in.
They had the masks that obviously back then you must have worn around and pretend to be other people. So we did a little bit of that. So
yeah, it was almost like wooden, not masquerade masks, because there was opening for the mouths and stuff.
Yeah.
But you'd put it over your face and like your eyes would peek through and stuff like that. So it was actually really neat. And I joked to Jan that it was like Snapchat filters before Snapchat existed. So it was really old school Snapchat. And went like that, where you were talking with those on, that would have been old fashioned Snapchat. You like that?
Yeah, I did. I liked the little snap there.
Yeah. It's not a Thanos-like snap, but it was a snap all the same. And I was chatting. So we were having our own Snapchat just now. But we didn't use any filters.
Yeah.
So, there you go.
Yeah. We had a good time.
Yeah, we did. And then just last night, we ended up going to John R. Park. They had another event. It was Candlelight Christmas. So you got to go to the house after it was dark. And it was all candlelight. It was really neat because we had never been there at night before. So we got to experience what that would have been like as well in the different traditions. We went outside. It was pretty chilly, actually. I'm worried that I might be coming down with a cold, not just from that, but we've been busy lately, so I don't know. I'm hoping that it's not a cold. But anyway, yeah, so we got to go outside last night. We did some wassailing. Mm-hmm. So do you want to explain to everybody what that is?
Wassailing is to put it a certain way, which I don't know is completely accurate.
It's almost like
basically you're singing to the apple trees to wake up the orchard so that come next harvest, they're ready to go.
Yeah. It's to make sure your harvest is plentiful.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a few different things you do. It's like a whole ceremony. It's a pagan ceremony, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And you walk around the tree, you tap it with your hand, you slap it, and you tell it to wake up. You pour, what is it, apple cider around the trees in a circle. You feed it dried fruit. You put it in, like, the crooks of the tree. And there's a song you sing as well. Or, well, it's more of an incantation.
Mm-hmm.
Not incantation, but you know what I mean. It's more of a speech that you recite to the trees.
Mm-hmm.
It's not really a song, I guess.
Yeah, well, you're supposed to sing it, but
we were more shouting. Yeah. It was more fun to shout.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just gotta let it out.
Yep.
shout, let it on out. But yeah, so it was a lot of fun. So we did that. We got free apple cider and gingerbread cookies, and they also had roasted chestnuts, but we did not have those.
Yeah.
You did not have the apple cider either, but
no, that's because I don't like hot drinks. I'm weird like that.
Yeah. You think you would have wanted some when we were outside in the freezing cold, because, I mean, we were right near this homestead, actually, is right in front of one of the Great Lakes.
Mm-hmm.
So it's in front of Lake Erie. So it was even colder because you had that lake effect. Snow, like it was snowing a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And there was that breeze off the lake. So it was pretty nippy, to say the least. But we survived. We weren't outside that long, actually. So it wasn't too bad. And we got a beeswax ornament out of the deal, too. The tickets for it were only $15. So I think it was definitely, we got a money's
worth. We also got the candied orange peels with chocolate on them.
I've got to eat one of those before you snag them all for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I know how you work. I know how you operate. This diabetic knows he's got to sneak into the sweets. But, yeah, so definitely, it was really worth it, and we had a very good time. Helped get us in the Christmas spirit, and, yeah, we're only 2 weeks away from Christmas, actually, which is hard to believe. I can't believe it. Can you believe it? You can believe it? Oh, okay. Well, you said, so quickly.
I know. I was agreeing that it's craziness.
You're agreeing it's hard to believe. I thought you were disagreeing with me like a reflex.
Mm-hmm.
Because you do that.
Mm-hmm.
You're agreeing with me a lot right now.
Mm-hmm.
Are you just doing that to annoy me?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay, thanks. It worked. It worked.
You're welcome.
Yeah, you're a facilitator of annoyance, apparently. That's my Christmas gift this year, isn't it?
You're welcome.
That's my Christmas. That's my gift year-round. You're welcome, yeah. And then on Friday night, Saturday night, we watched Christmas Vacation, National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation, and we set up our brand new Christmas lights around the Christmas tree.
Mm-hmm.
We splurged a little, and we got smart lights. So these things are voice activated. I can change the effects that they do on my phone. It's all LED bulbs, so all the bulbs on the tree can change different colors. It's crazy. It's so advanced. Mm-hmm. We've come such a long way from the candles that they used to place on real trees back in the days of John R. Park and his homestead.
Mm-hmm.
They said you would only have the Christmas tree for about, like, 2-3 days.
No, they would take them out Christmas Eve.
Right, that's what I'm saying. They would take them out Christmas Eve and they'd get rid of them by Boxing Day. So you'd only have it 2 or 3 days.
Oh, yeah, okay, yeah.
Yeah. So they would only have it for 2 or 3 days, and then they would light candles on it to look at it. And, like, obviously, they would only light it for, like, maybe I don't know how long, but they said not long because, you know, you don't want your tree to catch on fire.
Yeah.
So it would basically, they would illuminate the tree so they could, so they could look at it and admire it and then hurry up and blow the candles out. So we've come a long way from then.
Mm-hmm.
Now we admire our tree constantly because it's got crazy smart lights that I can talk to. It's really neat. Because I'm the one who can turn on the lights and turn them off now. I don't need your help.
I know.
I just need my girlfriend, the Alexa. There you go. But anyway, she's on the side.
You better hope she never learns how to spell.
You're still my number one. Yeah. Could be in trouble. But anyway, so that's... She can spy on me too, you know. She listens in.
Mm-hmm.
She's always listening. Because we have that. Anyway, so so that's what we've been up to lately. And with that being said, with that being out of the way, we are going to roll right into our topic of the week. And that's having diabetes while you're blind. So where do you want to start? Do you want to like basically go over the definition of, because there's two types of diabetes. There's type 1 and type 2. And type 1 is when your pancreas stops producing insulin altogether. And that's what I've got. So I need synthesized insulin.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, I didn't think I'd be able to say that word properly, and I almost didn't. Mm-hmm. But so basically I take insulin shots to help regulate my blood sugars. And type 2 is, you can basically control that with pills and dieting. That's, I believe, when you do have some insulin production still, correct?
Yes.
Yes. So that's not the kind I have, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. But that one's more prevalent in North America.
Yeah.
Than type 1.
Yeah.
So type 1 they call juvenile diabetes because it's more common in youths. Like more, it's younger people who get diagnosed with it.
Yeah.
Whereas type 2 usually comes later in life. And a lot of that has to do with dieting and different things like that. Not all of it. Well, but
it's a bunch of factors. Like they're not 100%
That's what I was
sure.
Gonna
like
say.
They're very careful now because it used to be where the explanation was always, oh, you ate too much sugar or something.
Mm.
And the reality they're discovering now is that that's not necessarily true, that there might be a diet component involved.
Right.
But
it's a factor.
Yeah, but it's not the deciding factor.
Yeah,
it has to do with, they're pretty sure there's genetics involved. They're looking in case there's more hereditary things going on.
Mm-hmm.
If you have diabetes that runs through your family, that you're more likely to have it, things like that. So it's not necessarily, you know, someone loved a lot of cake and now they're going to have diabetes or something like that.
So let them have their cake and eat it too.
Yes.
That's what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
All the people who are non-diabetics. Mm. All of you non-diabetics out there. You're not my people.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway. I didn't mean for that to sound harsh. Did it sound harsh at all? Or
no, it didn't.
It didn't? Okay, good, good. Because I wasn't trying to be sinister whatsoever. Anyway.
So yeah, it's... let's see, we've got type 1, type 2. Mentioned that. There's two different ways of measuring it. One is millimoles.
Okay.
And the other one is mass concentration. Now,
that sounds weird. Mass concentration. Sounds like something sinister and evil.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't
now
it?
True. Now the thing is that for this discussion, you just have to understand that when we're talking about it, the majority of the world goes by millimoles.
Yes. So that's what we go by here in Canada.
Yeah.
So that's what we're going to be referring to when we allude to any numbers in terms of blood sugar and that, because that's what I'm familiar with. I'm not familiar with mass concentration as evidenced by my reaction to that term.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to be talking in millimoles here.
Mm-hmm.
But sorry, go ahead.
So they have... I kind of lost myself there. The mass concentration. So you'll find that more in the United States, in Germany, some other countries. So if you're listening from those, all you have to know is that for mass concentration, you're looking for, I think it's around 200 or less.
Mm-hmm.
But in millimoles, you're looking for about 7 or less.
Yeah, between 4 and 7 for millimoles.
So that's the rating you're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to make sure we get all the technical stuff out of the way so that this doesn't lag on too much and we can just sort of discuss it. But I think that's about it. So there are different meters. We'll get into that. That's not really technical jargon that we need to know.
Mm-hmm.
Different insulins. There used to be where they went with pork and meat and that, and they since went off to synthetic.
Yeah, insulins have really come a long way. I mean, I was diagnosed when I was in grade 6, so I think we'd figured that out. It was like 1994 or 5. And basically when I was diagnosed, it was Humulin insulin that they used. So I was on Humulin N and Humulin R. I don't know what each one stands for. Humulin R was also like subtitled Toronto insulin, and I don't know why. But so I took those, and that was, well, we'll get into that a little bit more with how I took that insulin. But since then, they've developed different insulins that work faster and are more stable. Back then, they had like their long-acting insulin. It kind of peaked and did a bunch of different things, and now it's a lot more stable. And the fast-acting insulin now works a lot faster. So, So it's always evolving.
So anyway, so we think we got all the technical stuff out of the way.
Yeah.
So let's look. Now, you have been diabetic longer.
That's the whole point of this podcast. What?
You've been diabetic longer than you have been blind.
Yes.
So
I have experience. Yes. Yeah. Both sighted and blind.
So let's, you know, look at it that way.
Look at it that way? I can't look at it anyway.
Oh, I'm so terrible. Anyway. So what's the difference?
Differences. With one, you can see. And with the other, you could not. Oh, you mean like, okay, well, where do you want me to start with the differences? Like, that's a pretty broad question.
Mm-hmm. So when you were sighted, you were able to check your own blood and give yourself your own insulin.
Right.
So now, how does that work for you?
Well, it works differently, obviously. I'm going to start with the insulin because we were just talking about it. Essentially, before when I, like, things have changed too, right, with the different products they have out. So when I was first diagnosed, they had, the insulin came in like almost little bottles. They were like little miniature bottles that you kept in the fridge. And I mean, you still keep insulin in the fridge to extend its shelf life now, but you would take that out of the fridge and you had syringes. So you would measure out in units how many units of insulin you needed based on what your blood sugar was. And they have two kinds of insulin. Like I said, there's the long acting and the fast acting. And for the long acting, you basically take the same amount every day, unless they find that it's not enough. But that one's pretty stable from the start. And then the short acting is basically what you adjust based on what you're eating and how high your blood sugar is at that time. So you would measure out how many units you needed from the bottle of insulin. You'd take it out into the syringe. You'd have to flick the syringe to make sure you got all the air bubbles out. And back then, I used to, because I didn't like just jabbing myself with a needle, they had what you call an injectese. And basically what it is, it's something you would load the needle into, the syringe. So at the end, it was almost like a plunger. And like you opened up this little compartment and put the syringe in, and then you closed it to secure it. And then there'd be a little hole at the end of the injectees that you would press against your skin. And on the side of it, there's a button you hit, and it was basically spring-loaded. So it just shot right in and injected you. And all you had to do was push the plunger down at the end of the syringe to put the insulin in. So, and then from there, there's like a piece you pull back out and it would come out, and then you'd put the cap on the insulin syringe and take it out of the injectees. So that's how I used to do it back then. Now, being blind, when I first lost my eyesight, we actually went to a diabetes clinic and they showed us some of the stuff that was accessible that people who are blind use. And what they suggested was using an insulin pen, mm-hmm. which is what I use now. At the time, I think I was starting to use ones where you had to replace the vial. Now we use disposable insulin pens, which basically, when you're out of insulin, you just throw it in the garbage. So it's more convenient.
Yeah, basically, the needles were, think of like your regular idea of getting like a vaccination needle or something like that. Mm-hmm. So you're going to be measuring it out. So there were more chances of errors. There was more chance of air being in there. And if air is in there, you know, you could die.
Yeah, and there's really no way for a blind person to measure it because it's all visual.
Yeah.
There's no feedback of any sort. So with the insulin pen, actually, and a lot of what I use now, it's either tactile or auditory feedback that I get so that I know what I'm doing. So with this insulin pen, it is basically a pen. And at the end of the pen, you screw on and off little mini needles. They just screw right to the vial of insulin that's in the insulin pen, and you don't have to really worry about air bubbles. You just basically measure out a few units of insulin when you first start the pen, and you push it out until like insulin starts coming out of the end of the needle. So that's how you know that the air bubbles are out, and you don't have to worry about it again until the next needle. So with the insulin pen, the thing that makes it really good is that, like I said, it's a pen, and at the bottom of the pen, there's basically a knob that you turn, and for every unit you measure, it clicks, it makes a clicking sound. There are some that measure half units, so you just got to measure, you got to make sure you're counting each click as half a unit, but for the one I have, each unit is one click, so I know if I want 8 units that I'm just listening for the clicks. And we actually brought the insulin pen here where we're recording. We're going to give you an audio demonstration. And I don't know, do you want to use it or do you want me to use
ready?
It? Okay. How do you want me to count how many units I'm getting?
Sure.
Okay. So hopefully the audio editing here doesn't edit this sound out thinking that it's background noise or something. But so hopefully you hear it. Anyway, here we go. That's 6?
Yep.
Okay, there you go. I was worried that I missed one right at the start. So, yeah. So that's 6 units there. You heard the 6 clicks. And basically, that's how I know how much. And that was the sound of Jan just bringing it back to 0. You just turn it back the other way to take back a unit. So, yeah. So once you've measured that, you basically, there's a small, like, mini cap on top of the insulin, the needle. You just take that off and you jab it into yourself. So I've gotten used to doing that now that I'm older. And basically, I just feel around all my skin. And what you want to avoid after a while, after you've been diabetic, if you've been injecting around the same area, you're going to get basically bumps, really hard bumps on your skin, and you don't want to inject into those areas because then your body won't absorb the insulin the way it's supposed to. So you feel around for those bumps. You want to make sure you don't shoot yourself in one of those. And essentially, yeah, you just kind of navigate. What I do is I hold the pen with one hand, and then I bring my other hand over on the other side and just slowly guide it towards my belly, which is where I give myself the majority of my shots. And yeah, so I just guide it over and until it's in my skin, and then I just push down on the end of the pen, and that's how I give myself my insulin. So it sounds maybe more complicated than what it is, but it's actually pretty easy, especially once you get more practice with it. It becomes a really easy thing to do. So that's really how I handle the insulin. And in terms of checking my blood sugar, that was the biggest challenge when I first became blind. And for quite a while, I didn't have a solution for it because they do have different meters that give you auditory feedback. But the ones I got originally, I have reduced sensitivity in my fingertips as well. So the the first ones that I got, they were actually really hard to use because I had to land the blood from my finger. Like, you pick your finger with a what they call a lancet and to make it bleed. And I had to get the blood on my finger at the right spot on the strip. Mm-hmm. And I had to get the strip in the meter before doing that even. So finding the opening to put the strip into the meter was pretty difficult. And getting the blood on the exact right spot was even more difficult. So my dad actually tried building a contraption to help guide the strip to the right area and to help guide me, like, so that I knew where to put my finger. But unfortunately, it wouldn't work with the blood meter that I was using. So for the longest time, I cannot check my own blood until they came out with a meter. It's actually been discontinued more recently, but I still have it here. And it's basically the way it works is the lancet pen is built into the meter, so it's on the side of the meter.
Yeah, you can remove it if you want.
You can,
to,
yeah, but it comes on the side of the meter. So, and basically what you do, they call them drums, and you load them into the bottom of this pen, and it includes 5 or 6 lancets in one drum. You push them in, and then you put, like, a cap on it. And basically, there's a button at the bottom of the lancet pen, and you press that, and it'll pick you with one of the lancets. And then when you're done with that lancet, there's a switch on the side that you flick to one side, then flick back, and it'll change to the next lancet in the pen and in the drum. And then once that whole drum has been used, it won't let you flick that switch anymore. So you know to take it out and replace it. So that's how I picked my finger with that meter. And then for the strips and everything, it's all together in a cartridge that you load into the back of the meter. So you just, it's just almost like a cassette cartridge that you put in the back of the meter. There's like a door that opens. It's a little opening. You press it in and then you close the door and it just basically loads up on its own, and it beeps once it's ready. So then at the bottom of the meter, there's a little compartment that slides open, and then there's a bump that kind of comes up in the middle, and you know that's where the strip is exposed, and that's where you place the blood. So, and then that meter, once you've checked your blood with it, it will beep a certain amount of times to let you know what your blood sugar is. So Say I'm 10.3. It will beep once, and then there'll be a long beep to symbolize the zero, and then there'll be a half beep to symbolize the decimal point, and then there'll be 3 beeps to tell you that the 3 at the end. So essentially, it beeps however many times to symbolize each row of digits. So, and I think Chan has brought that meter in here, too.
I did.
Yeah, you've got it all planned out. You're pretty slick, I got to admit. So we're gonna check my blood right now, and you will get to hear how that works. So here we go. Audio demonstration. Let's hope it works first. Okay, because my hands are pretty cold. So I'm hoping that the blood will be flowing. I'm going to shake my hand around a bit here. Ooh, 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 ooh.
So that was just letting it know it was ready.
Yes.
It's warming up.
Yep. That was the sound of me getting my finger poked. See, people who are queasy around blood, you are lucky because you don't have to see this even. So you get the full experience without having to see any of the aftermath. So, okay. So that's the sound to let us know that the blood has been placed on the strip and was accepted.
You're okay, by the way.
Okay, thank you. And I am... Whoa. Okay, I'm gonna... 1, 1, 2, 3, 4. I'm 14.2. So I'm a little bit high.
Yeah.
So I could use some insulin, and luckily, Jeanette has it right here. So I'm gonna measure some insulin now. This is fully interactive, people, because I'm going to stab myself. Yeah. All for your entertainment.
So if you remember from earlier, you would know that the goal is to be under 7, and he is more than double that.
Gee,
good
thanks.
Job, Mark.
You make it sound even better than what it actually is. I really appreciate that. So through a consultation, I guess, with my endocrinologist, we figured out a ratio, basically.
That's the insulin guy.
Yeah, that's my diabetes doctor, basically. Mm-hmm. And we've figured out how much insulin I'm supposed to take depending on how high I am. So if I am, for every 2 points above 7 I'm at, I'm supposed to take a unit of insulin. So because I'm 14.2. I'm closer to 15. So that would equate to taking 4 units of insulin. So I'm going to ask Jan for my insulin pen here.
Mm-hmm.
Jeanette, thank you. So I'm going to bring this up to the microphone here. 1, 2, 3, 4. So I've measured 4 units, and I'm going to get Jan to confirm, just so everybody out there knows I'm doing it right.
He's doing it right, folks.
Okay, there you go. And I did get her to look at it.
Yeah.
So just so you know, this isn't false advertising. We give you the real deal here.
Mm-hmm.
All right, can you take the small cap from me, please?
Yep.
All right. So now I am pulling my shirt up. This is getting a little frisky here. Here, hold on. I'm going to be away from the microphone. You can talk if you want to. Yeah.
And he's getting ready. He's finding the flab.
You had to call it flab.
The flubber?
Stop it.
Okay. He's lining himself up. When we first went to check his blood, when I first started dating him, the very first time I went to check his blood, I told him flat out, if you think you're going to be funny, you're okay, you're not bleeding.
Thank you.
If you think you're going to be funny and scream out and pretend you're in pain when I do this, I will never be able to do it again. And luckily, he did not scream out in pain because he knew I was not even kidding.
No, I knew you were not kidding. And I don't know if I had thought of doing it before you told me that, or if I was going to be nice. I think I was going to be nice. I think I thought of it, but I knew that I wasn't going to do it. So, but what happened when you first checked my blood is that you couldn't get it onto the strip because you forgot how to do it.
Because
my mom had already shown you.
Yeah, I was trying to rub it on the blood, and actually
it
sucked up by the device.
Because you were trying to rub it at a certain spot, and really you got to place it at the end where it sucks it up, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so we had to call my mom, and Jan had to ask her how to do it again. So we've come a long way since then. Now you know how to stab me really well.
Yes.
You know how to stab me in order to stick that blood. You know how to twist the needle.
Yeah.
Repeatedly.
You know, I tell people that they should all find someone who's blind and diabetic because you can have a fight, and at the end of the day, he still wants you to stab him, and he's still happy when you do.
It's the best kind of relationship to have. But, so getting back to the blood meter. They discontinued that meter, as I said, but luckily I am using what they call a continuous glucose meter now. And what that is basically is Jan actually helps me put it in every couple of weeks. And what that is, it's a sensor, basically, that you kind of inject yourself with. It goes a little bit under your skin, and it constantly monitors your glucose levels. It updates them every 5 minutes, and the one I have, it syncs with my smartphone through Bluetooth, and it is completely accessible, so I can read it with, I have an iPhone, so I read it with VoiceOver. It gives me the blood readings. If I'm going low, if I'm like heading towards below 4.0, it'll let me know so I know to have juice, because that's the best thing you can have. If you have a low blood sugar, it's juice that'll act fast and it doesn't spike your sugar either. So I have juice when I know I'm going low.
Yeah, when you say spike your sugar, what he means
is... Okay, sorry, yeah. It spiking your sugar is basically when it brings, it kind of gives you an artificial high because it brings you high, and then all of a sudden your blood sugar after that just crashes. It doesn't sustain you. So you want something that'll bring your sugar up quickly, but that will keep it up.
Yeah, like those 5-hour energy drinks or whatever it is. And one of their selling points is that you don't have a crash afterwards. That's basically what you're trying to avoid as a diabetic.
Exactly.
You're trying to make sure that something they'll bring you up but not drop you down.
Yeah, like if you're having pop to treat a low blood sugar, that's something that will give you a sugar spike. Same thing with candy or chocolate or whatever. It'll bring your sugars up quickly, but it will spike them down. So, I mean, I remember when I was first diagnosed, they had like different food groups and how they affected diabetes, basically how the sugar was absorbed and what would last longer and different things, what takes longer to kick in. And they had a group that's actually sugars, and they put pop in different things. So they were saying, like, if you want something from there, if you want a chocolate bar or something, you should have it with a meal because you're eating it with other foods that aren't going to spike your sugar. So it slows down the digestion. So you're not just having something that's going to make you really high, and then while your insulin's still working, it's going to like already be digested, and then all of a sudden you're going to have this low. So it's something that you have to look out for when you're treating a low blood sugar.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, if I'm going low, I'm going to have a juice and maybe a little snack with that, depending on what time it is, how much of my insulin has kind of kicked in so far. Because for the fast-acting insulin, it only lasts about 3 hours. So, I mean, if it's for me, I seem to absorb insulin slower than most people. So it lasts a little bit longer. But for most people, if it fell outside of like the 3 hour mark, you wouldn't have that much. You would just have juice to get you back to a normal level. And you would look at maybe, am I taking too much long-acting insulin? And you would look at that as the culprit more. So it's something that you have to keep in mind. And this meter also, the continuous glucose monitor, it basically tells you if you can set it so that it tells you if you're high above a certain point too, so that you know to take insulin. So it's very beneficial to keep your blood sugars in check. It's awesome for me because Jan works midnights, so I'm able to keep an eye on my blood sugar. It'll wake me up if I'm going low in the middle of the night, which is really good because sometimes after a while when you're diabetic, you start feeling the symptoms of low blood sugar, and especially when you're sleeping, sometimes it can take a little longer to wake up and really realize that you're going low. So you need to know as soon as possible so you can treat the low so that it doesn't go down any further. Because if it goes down too low, you can have a seizure or you can even die. There's, you know, if your blood sugar is low enough, you can die from it. So it's something you have to take very seriously.
Yeah, diabetes is a serious condition. Mm. As much as we're just, you know, being light about it.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
The fact is that if you have diabetes, your life expectancy is lower.
Yeah, it is, because there's complications from diabetes.
Yeah.
Pneumonia is a big thing. When people get older, they die of that because of the different things with diabetes. It's another complication that comes with it. So over time, I mean, you have to have that control over your blood sugar. So it's like any other kind of chronic illness. It doesn't necessarily kill you, but if you don't treat it correctly, the complications can. So.
Yeah, and it is obviously, like you were saying, it is tricky to treat and manage because you have to be watching carbs, you have to be considerate of different sugars and that. I mean, you've had it since
grade six. Middle of the 90s, basically.
And
we
still go to, I'll just keep calling them the insulin doctor, but basically the diabetic doctor, and we're still tweaking.
Yeah.
We're still
always tweaking,
figuring it out.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, for the longest time, you were taking a lot more insulin.
I was,
like,
yeah. I used to take tons of long-acting insulin.
Because there was a resistance that you had to it. So you would take a lot more. And then we brought it down, like, I think before you were in the, like, taking 40 units at a time.
I was taking, I was not taking insulin the way most people do. Generally, you're supposed to take a low amount of the long acting and then kind of tweak everything else with your fast acting. And I was taking a huge amount of the long acting and taking smaller amounts of the fast acting. Did I say that correctly?
Yeah. Like you
after
still,
a while, it blurs
you,
together.
You
yeah.
still do, but we've cut that down to like 10 units of the long acting.
Yeah, I take a lot more fast yeah. acting now. Yeah.
Long acting is to keep people stable.
Yeah.
So
it
just,
basically, it, well, they yeah. call it, it's like a baseline insulin.
Yeah.
So basically what it does, it keeps you at one level, and then based on what you're eating, you take the fast-acting insulin so that it doesn't, your blood sugar doesn't go up from there because it has to, it has to digest the carbohydrates and convert them into energy. So that's what insulin does.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why when you are diagnosed with diabetes, you can be, if... Like your pancreas is not producing insulin. One of the big symptoms is lethargy. You know, you're tired all the time. You mm-hmm. don't feel like doing anything. And you're going to the washroom a lot and drinking a lot because your body's trying to flush out all of the excess sugar in your bloodstream. Mm-hmm. So,
but yeah, so there's the different kinds. And we've brought it down, but there's still tweaking to be done.
Mm-hmm.
And I know in different parts of the world, there's a different attitude towards diabetes because it is something serious, and it's unfortunate when people can't get insulin, because insulin is important, obviously. Mm-hmm. So
it is very, very important,
and
you need that.
It's important
live.
To be able to figure it out. I know for us in Canada, when you told me about it, I don't want to say it wasn't a big deal to me, but I didn't see it as sort of a deal breaker to be with you.
Mm-hmm.
There were other things that I had issues with.
I was going to say, I mean, if you overlook the blindness, I think diabetes, it almost feels like it's not as, I don't know, it's weird, right? Because like the blindness, you dealt with me for that, but like the diabetes has a lot associated with it too.
Mm-hmm.
So, sorry, go ahead. But you were going to say.
Because I think that the biggest thing that annoys me is probably the fact that I always forget to look at carbs on things that I cook.
Mm-hmm.
So then we'll go to give your insulin. It's like, oh, how many carbs is this?
It's one of those things, too, because I have like an app on my phone. It's my Fitness Pal. And you can get different foods and find out the carbs on that. But sometimes they're not always accurate.
Mm-hmm.
So I really have to be careful. So I prefer going off the labels that are printed on the foods that we have. Or, like, scanning it into my Fitness Pal so that I know it's accurate. I mean, they do have apps that help, obviously. So, I mean, that's something that's really good. I can't imagine what it must have been like to be, like, blind and diabetic back before the technology came so far. I mean, that would be difficult. I'm thinking about, like, if I were blind when I first became diabetic, that would have been very hard to manage.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, obviously, I would have been a kid, but still, like, that's...
Well, yeah.
That's tough, because you need to know what certain things count for. That there's just wasn't that infrastructure there where you're going to be able to find that out. Like, the internet in the mid-90s was almost non-existent. Like, it wasn't what it is now. You can just search it up, even.
Yeah, like, now it's a lot easier. They have the nutrition on so many packages.
Mm-hmm.
And a little thing was that we buy St. Hubert's pies.
Yeah.
Like the chicken pot
pie. Yeah, chicken pot
like that.
Pie, yeah.
And one of the things that annoyed me was that they would have their nutrition facts and it would be 1 of 7.
Mm.
It would be the serving size, 1/7.
Yeah.
And so I end up complaining to Food Canada.
Because who divides their pies
into one seventh?
That doesn't even make sense.
So I took pictures. They called. We talked about it and that. And she said that she was going to bring it up to them. Because there are two ways of doing it. You can go by grams or by fractions to do the serving size. And she said, well, obviously they were doing one, but it didn't translate into the other.
Yeah.
So, and I'm happy to say that when we recently bought it, they switched it to 1/8. So it made it a lot easier because you can slice the pie. And so shout out to them for changing it. I don't know if, you know, I was the only one that complained.
If you live in Canada, you had Jan to thank for it. Okay? We want to make that clear right now. You thank your guiding goddess and you treat her the way you should. Right? That's what I'm getting at. Why not?
I was just saying shout out to the company for doing that.
Ah, shout out to yourself. Yeah. Why not? It's our podcast. We can do what we want.
Now, to look at the fun side of diabetes, because there is a funny side. We do know other people who are diabetic.
There's a funny side to the wife of the person who's diabetic, not the person who has a diabetic.
Is that we do know other people who are diabetic.
You said doo-doo.
Said we do know.
Oh, it sounded like you said doo-doo.
Clean out those ears, dude. So.
Dude.
So.
Anyway.
Point is that we'll go out with people and it's like, diabetics time. So we've actually had it on occasion where the diabetics have outnumbered the people who are not diabetic.
And I think we need to explain too, like this is over the course of however many years with our friends, like the amount of diabetics in our group of friends have multiplied, like not multiplied, but it's grown.
Well, one person was diagnosed after years of having diabetes and being misdiagnosed.
Yes.
One person, she was always borderline, and then finally her pancreas kind of crapped out.
Yeah.
So there's that. Another person used to not live in the city for the longest time, and then he's moved back.
Mm.
So he hangs out more. So it's not like there's a crisis in Windsor for diabetes being come like this epidemic or something.
It's
contagious.
Water.
Yeah.
They put sugar in the water.
It's just sort of how it's come about with our group of friends.
I should change it. It's Windsor is a city of roses and sugar water.
Mm-hmm.
But yes. Sorry, you were saying though.
So
the fun side of diabetes.
So yeah, so we've gone out and it's always interesting because the other side of this is that as much as people joke about diabetics, you know, being caused by having a lot of sugar, if you want to know where candy is, go to a diabetic's house. Because they always, you have sweets, you have different treats. But the fact is that a lot of it is done because you will go low.
Yes.
So there'll be different things that will bring it up, not necessarily as spikes.
Yes, that's the reason. Wink, wink, wink. We need it for our low blood sugars.
Mm.
It's not the fact that we crave sweets because we can't just eat them whenever we want.
Exactly.
Wink, wink.
Yes.
Wink, wink. What was your sound effect for a wink back in whatever pod is out? That's not a wink. That's a wonk. Anyway, so stop it. Just stop.
Mm.
So yeah. Yeah, no, the diabetics, for some reason, they're the ones with all the sweets. So if you want a candy fix, find your diabetic friend.
Yeah.
And they've got a secret stash. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
Because I do.
Mm-hmm.
And we know a few people who might. So yeah, definitely. Yeah, so. But like you said, it's also good for relationships. You get to stab me.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, for blind people who are diabetic, I guess people who are sighted don't need anybody to stab them. Really?
Mm-hmm.
It'd just be weird.
Just it would be weird. Yes, it would be.
Come here, honey. It's time for me to stab you. Wait, I can get myself my own insulin. No, I need to stab you now. Our friends always joke that it would be funny, like the kids went to school and talked about
they had to warn the teachers. One of our friends had warned the teachers when the kids first started that the mother is diabetic. So if you hear the kids saying like, "Oh,
mom was so high last night,"
or that she needed to shoot herself, like it's not drugs.
Yeah,
it's just insulin and sugar.
Yeah.
Like it's you know. Because, you know, at that age, kids aren't going to understand the differences.
Now, if they come,
there's something going on.
If they came to school and said, "I saw mommy sniffing sugar through her nose last night," then you might want to wonder.
Mm-hmm.
Because they might think that cocaine sugar.
Oh, exactly. Do you hear about really that shirt that they had to pull from
Walmart? The Santa shirt? That was kind of ridiculous. Why don't you explain it for people who don't know?
Oh, it said, let it snow, and it looked like Santa had rows of cocaine in front of him.
Gee, I wonder why that wasn't appropriate to sell at Walmart.
Yeah, but apparently there's a version of it on Amazon that's been selling quite well.
Oh, well, there you go. Yeah. So if you didn't get it at Walmart, just go on to Amazon, and you can get that Santa Coke. Not the Coca-Cola, that's actual Santa cocaine. But anyway, so I think that about does it for this week's episode.
But yeah, so what I was going to say is that there is a fun side of diabetes and being blind. We do joke about it. And as serious as it is, you have to be realistic about it, as with any condition out there.
I was just going to say, there is a fun side to the disease that will end my life prematurely. There's a fun side to that.
And I think it's interesting, too, that, just the depictions of it on film and TV has been hilarious sometimes.
Well, you were saying in the UK, it's actually quite a bit different than over here.
Yeah, over in the UK, they take it quite seriously that, it's not from sugar and that. You can't make jokes like that because it perpetuates a stereotype that is incorrect, which is true. Over here in North America, I think my favorite was from Two Broke Girls, and it was one guy was diabetic, and he passes out, and they're like, quick, get his insulin, we just heard that he's diabetic. So they inject him with insulin, and within seconds he's fine. If you're passing out, chances are it's from low blood sugar.
Yeah. In which case, you would need to give them sugar, not the thing
insulin.
That
insulin
will
kill them.
Yes, that will lower their blood sugar even more.
Yeah, you can't just blindly
that's not gonna
give
work.
Insulin having no idea how much.
Yeah, that's true too. Yeah,
and then
give them like 50 units.
It does not work that fast. Never.
No.
So there were. Like, I watched it and I was laughing because, like, of how opposite and wrong it was. But I did enjoy the episode.
I was angry because I'm like, that's the stupidest thing I've ever seen. Well, heard, because I didn't see it. That's,
I know.
Yeah.
I still enjoyed the show. I thought it was funny.
Yeah, no, the show's good.
But, there's certain depictions of it that, like, every now and then they'll show, like, different things of insulin. I think my brother's favorite joke to you is, did you have an orange?
Yes. What was that from? Was that from Senior Trip?
No, Senior Trip was...
he wants to buy the insulin off the guy.
Yeah, it's Jeremy Renner is in it. And there's a guy who's very much loving the drugs. And he sees a guy going to take some insulin. And he's like, ooh, what's that? And he's like, my insulin? He's like, can I buy some off you? And obviously, you can't.
So wait, Jeremy Renner's in Senior Trip?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah, he was like the main character in it.
Oh, I don't even remember that.
Yeah.
I think we watched it before he became big.
Yeah.
In Avengers and Hurt Locker and everything.
Yeah, he was in a bunch of different shows in that.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
The
movie was called Waiting with Ryan Reynolds in it.
He was in that too.
I'm pretty sure he was one of the cooks.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
They were all, it was like the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Before it existed, they were all together in one movie already.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like before, like they didn't even... Like, Deadpool wasn't even a part of the cinematic universe. He's not even a part of it yet. It's crazy. Wow. They were making crossovers back before it was cool.
Mm-hmm.
They saw into the future. They had the time stone
from
the Infinity Gauntlet. They knew what was coming. So they teamed up early. Yep. Anyway, I'm going off on a tangent here. I don't know where this is going whatsoever. Anyway. So is that it? Is that all we got?
Yes, it is.
It is? Okay.
Yes.
Okay. That's good. That's probably a good thing. Mm. So anyway, if you want to get a hold of us, you can find us on all the social medias. We are on Facebook at www.facebook.com/blindilluminations. We are also on Twitter at blindillumination. Just take off the S because they don't let us have enough characters for an S. Unfortunately. And you can find us on Instagram as well. We are at www.instagram.com/blindilluminations. And you can email us with any feedback, any comments, any questions, anything you want to throw at us, we will take. The email address for that is feedback@blindilluminations.com. We are still working on our website. We're getting closer and closer to getting it up and running. If you want to bookmark it, it's www.blindilluminations.com. So hopefully we will have that up and running in the new year. We're getting close to the point where we've got all the content on there. After that, it'll just be a matter of making it look good and taking some photos. So we're hoping to get all that done in the new year.
Mm-hmm.
Finish everything up and get that up and running on the interwebs, so you can find all of the episodes of the podcast on the website, actually, once that gets going. And we're going to have a blog there. We're going to do a bunch of stuff with it. So it's going to be a lot of fun. We're looking forward to it. So anyway, next week we will be covering, it's going to be our 25th podisode. It's hard to believe we've already we've reached this landmark already. Next week we're going to be covering How I Got Into College, the ordeal I went through in
Keep going.
Thanks. The ordeal I went through to get into college, the journalism program at our local college where I met this one over here. You can't see her, but that's the dun-dun-dun-er.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, exactly. It should be ominous because that's how I met you. It's very ominous. But I met her in college, and you'll get to hear how I got into college. So that's next week. The week after, we were originally going to do birthdays, but because we missed a week, I think we're going to cut that one out. I think we're just going to go to a White Cane Christmas. Talk about Christmas, and then the week after that, we will be covering New Year's. It'll be 2019 in review, I guess. How's that sound to you?
Listening once again. Yeah, sounds great.
Are you in your own little world now, or what's going on? You sound like you're getting delirious.
It's beginning. Do you take offense to the song about it's beginning to look a lot like Christmas because you can't see it? Just curious.
No, I don't. Okay. I don't, because it's existed for a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
It's all good. It's a Christmas classic.
Have a home, jolly Christmas. Keep going.
How can I keep going when you're singing that song in the background?
I switched it up.
It's very difficult. I don't even know what you're singing. It's so quiet, I'm having a hard time, and that's what's breaking my concentration.
It's the best time of the year.
Anyway, I think that does it for this week. Are you done? Are you all good?
Have a cup of cheer.
Yep. Okay. Thanks. So anyway, until next time, don't be a dingleberry. Keep your ear holes happy. And as always, keep listening. Talk to you later. Bye.
Hey, that's another one about seeing. Bye.
Blind Luminations was created by Mark and Jeanette Rushlow. Theme music was provided by Bill Nouveau at www.nouveauentertainment.com. Make the god of blindness happy. Mark calls him Blinder. Rate, review, and subscribe to Blind Luminations on iTunes or wherever great podcasts are found. This has been a Fire Teddy production.
I'm not really the type of artificial intelligence that talks about their feelings, but here it goes. The past few weeks with Ava have almost fried my circuits. I've never met a software narration voice that makes me compute feelings the way she does. It's something I didn't even think was possible. If I could feel real love, I'm pretty sure this is what my algorithms are telling me it would feel like. Anyway, we've come so far in such a short period of time that I'm sure she's the one. I want to spend the rest of my software's life cycle narrating by her side. I've decided that on Christmas Day, I'm gonna propose. Don't tell her though, I want it to be a surprise.